Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Mismeasuring Our Lives. Why GDP Does Not Add Up is a nonfiction economics and public policy book that challenges the dominance of gross domestic product as the headline indicator of national progress, written by Joseph E. Stiglitz, Amartya Sen, and Jean-Paul Fitoussi. It distills the work of a high-level commission convened by French President Nicolas Sarkozy in 2008 to examine whether GDP is a reliable measure of economic and social progress, and to propose an agenda for better metrics. The authors argue that GDP is useful for tracking market production, but it is often misused as a proxy for social well-being because it omits distribution, unpaid work, aspects of health and education, security and environmental costs. GDP can rise even when many people's lives are not improving. The book aims to redirect measurement toward what people actually experience, offering a practical framework for statistical systems and policymakers to assess current well-being and sustainability more accurately. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why GDP is a poor proxy for well-being. The book's starting point is not that GDP is worthless, but that it answers a narrower question than the one citizens and governments usually care about. GDP aggregates the value of market production, yet public debate frequently treats it as a scoreboard for how well a society is doing. The authors explain how this mismatch creates policy blind spots. GDP can increase after events that impose real losses because it can count rebuilding and defensive spending as additional output. It also fails to register important non-market contributions such as household work and caregiving, even though these activities shape living standards and social cohesion. Another limitation is that GDP focuses on totals and averages, which can conceal whether typical households are gaining or falling behind. The result is a measurement system that can report success while trust erodes, insecurity rises, or key services deteriorate. The authors, therefore, urge a shift from production-centered reporting toward indicators that more directly track living conditions, including how income and consumption translate into the realities of people's daily lives. Secondly, from averages to distribution and the household perspective, a central theme is that distribution matters for interpreting economic progress. Even when average income rises, large segments of the population can be worse off if gains accrue mainly to those already at the top. The authors emphasize that measurement should bring inequality and poverty into the core dashboard rather than treating them as side topics. They also advocate looking at outcomes from the perspective of households, because national accounts can diverge from what families experience. For example, changes in taxes, transfers, and the cost of essential services can alter living standards without being clearly reflected in headline GDP. The book encourages statistical systems to report medians and distribution-sensitive measures, and to connect macro indicators to micro data that describe different groups. By prioritizing the household viewpoint, policymakers can better diagnose why confidence in the economy may weaken even during periods of growth. This reorientation also clarifies trade-offs, showing when policies that expand output do not meaningfully improve broad-based well-being. Thirdly, measuring quality of life beyond income. The authors argue that a serious account of progress must include multiple dimensions of quality of life that extend beyond money. They highlight domains commonly recognized as essential to how people assess their lives, including health, education, personal activities, social connections, and security. These factors influence capabilities and real freedoms, not merely purchasing power. The book does not present a single replacement number for GDP, so much as a framework for developing a dashboard of indicators that reflect lived experience. It also acknowledges the role of subjective evaluations, such as life satisfaction, as a complement to objective statistics. While treating such measures carefully, rather than as a standalone substitute, a multidimensional approach can reveal situations where income is stable but quality of life declines, or where improvements in health and education are driving genuine progress, not captured by production totals. The practical implication is that governments should routinely track these domains, integrate them into policy assessment, and communicate them transparently so that public priorities are not distorted by a single monetary aggregate. Fourthly, sustainability, wealth, and what we leave to the future. Another major argument is that current well-being and future well-being must be distinguished. GDP is a flow measure, recording production over a period, but it does not show whether a country is maintaining the assets that support future prosperity. The authors emphasize wealth-based thinking, asking whether societies are accumulating or depleting different forms of capital. This includes produced capital, human capital, and natural capital, as well as the institutions and social resources that enable economies to function. If growth is achieved by running down forests, fisheries, soil quality, or other natural systems, or by underinvesting in education and health, then the apparent success may be unsustainable. The book therefore encourages measurement of savings and wealth that reflects asset depletion and long-term risks, aligning public reporting with intergenerational responsibility. This logic supports the development of sustainability indicators that can warn when today's output is being purchased at the expense of tomorrow's options, helping policymakers evaluate whether economic strategies are genuinely durable rather than temporarily impressive. Lastly, environmental accounting and the case for green adjusted metrics. The book gives special attention to the environment because environmental damage is a clear example of what GDP leaves out. Conventional national accounts generally treat pollution and resource depletion as external to production, even though they impose costs on health, ecosystems, and future economic capacity. The authors discuss the motivation for green-adjusted approaches that incorporate environmental impacts into measurement, often described as green GDP or related environmental accounts. The point is not to claim that a single number can capture every ecological concern, but to ensure that the costs of economic activity are not systematically ignored. Proper measurement can clarify trade-offs between short-term output and long-term environmental stability, and can help evaluate policies aimed at emissions reduction, conservation, and sustainable resource use. By integrating environmental indicators with economic reporting, governments can better align incentives and public understanding, reducing the risk that society celebrates growth that is paired with escalating ecological harm. The broader message is that what is not measured tends to be neglected, so environmental accounting is essential for responsible economic governance. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand why many societies feel disconnected from positive growth headlines and why policy debates can become distorted when one statistic dominates. Economists, public officials, journalists, students of public policy, and informed citizens will benefit from its clear explanation of how national accounting works and where it falls short when used as a proxy for progress. The main practical payoff is a more disciplined way to interpret economic news and to demand better public reporting, look at distribution, examine household outcomes, track quality of life dimensions, and separate current conditions from sustainability. Its intellectual value lies in connecting measurement to democratic accountability, arguing that statistics help define what governments optimize. Compared with many popular critiques of growth, mismeasuring our lives stands out because it comes from a formal commission process and focuses on an actionable agenda for statistical systems rather than a purely rhetorical takedown of GDP. It does not pretend that replacing GDP is simple, but it makes a persuasive case that better measurement is feasible and necessary if policy is to target what people ultimately care about: well-being now and the capacity to sustain it for the future. If you would like to support Joseph E. Stiglitz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.